Previously for All Podcasts.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode number 6 for FreeBSD for All podcast for June 4th, 2006. Some news here on the FreeBSD.org website. The Google Summer of Code, the running Google Summer of Code. On the FreeBSD website, you'll see that 12 projects have been selected for funding. And the list of the projects is on the net. I did go through them and some interesting stuff there. I remember about SNMP. I remember about PXC booting. So you'd have live CDs and you should be able to boot other machines using PXC. Something of that sort. I didn't exactly get the idea. It's supposed to be helpful for building clusters easily. The description of all the projects is on the website. Check it out on freebsd.org news. Alright, today's content. First we'll just talk about plugin wrapper, Linux plugin wrapper to be precise. Then we'll jump into the part 2 and probably the last part of the differences between FreeBSD and Linux. I have gathered some information, a small research about John Baldwin, who is a committer for the FreeBSD project, and currently he is mainly working on the SNMP, and we'll talk about that a bit later. I found one interesting link. I'll just give out that, and we have a special podcast announcement at the end of the show. So hope you enjoy. Let's get down to it. First of all, the Linux plugin wrapper. Now, Macromedia Flash plugin is not available for FreeBSD, a native plugin, but you can use a software layer or wrapper for running the Linux version of the plugin. And this wrapper also supports Adobe Acrobat plugin, the RealPlayer plugin, and many more. Right, in order to use the Linux plugin wrapper, just hope you have installed the port collection. Just change your directory to your ports directory, USR ports, www/linux-plugin-wrapper. And the dependency is the Linux base, so hope you have that. And just follow the instructions displayed by the port, and you'd have to set up your /libmap.conf file. And once you've done that, if you have Mozilla installed, just start it up and check out the help about plugins, and you should see a list of all the available currently available plugins in that about plugins box. So Linux plugin wrapper port, very useful. I use it. Alright, I found interesting steps about installing the Java plugin for Mozilla. I have got this from a forum, and this was contributed by Tom Rhodes. I'll just run through the steps in the podcast. I'll put up the exact posting on the blog. Basically, Tom just tells us that first thing is to download the files which will be used by Mozilla. Go to the sun.com Java website. You have to create a username and password. You'd have to download a zip file, and then you'll download a bin file, and this file must be placed in the USR ports dist files folder. Download the Java patch kit from a link, I have it here, and place it in USR ports dist files, and then install the Java JDK 1.5 port, and then you should be able to start Mozilla and access about plugins from the help menu, and Java should be listed there. I'll just post the entire steps on the blog. I didn't try this out. I'm going to try it pretty soon because I visited a couple of sites which use Java for some of their stuff, and I was not able to access that. So I'll probably do this today or tomorrow maybe. Right, it's the second section, part two, and probably the last part of differences between Linux and FreeBSD. Alright, FreeBSD has the idea of a wheel group, the group name wheel. Now, in order to SU, in the sense if you want to have admin root privileges, and you put in the command SU super user, if your account is in the wheel group, only then will you be allowed to use the command SU. Otherwise, you will not be allowed to do that. This is just a level of protection, so that anyone and everyone can't go in and try to log in as root with the SU command. But most Linux users get confused by this because in FreeBSD, if you just try SU without being in the wheel group, you'd just be thrown off. It probably says, let me try here. No, I am a part of wheel. It says sorry or something like that. So if you have come from Linux, just make sure you are in the wheel group. Only then you will you be able to SU. Right, FreeBSD has a central repository, as we talked about in the last podcast, the ports and the packages. Now, this repository defines what is the OS. It has everything that the OS should need, and everything from the repository contributes and makes the OS, makes the CD. So, there's just one repository for FreeBSD. Of course, there are different branches out of it, the forks, but the repository for FreeBSD 6, there's just one. Now, compare that with the Linux, the various distros that you have. You'd have Fedora, which I've played around with, and then you've got SUSE, and you've got Mandrake or Mandriva now, and you've got Arch Linux. Everyone has a different repository. Now, Arch Linux, I believe, has two of them. One is the user-contributed softwares, and one is the official repository. And Fedora, of course, has its own, the YUM system of installing softwares. So it has its own repository. And what you have is not necessarily every repository will have every software that you might need. So Arch Linux user contributed repository might not have some softwares, or the official might not have some softwares that you want. But FreeBSD has just one, and that is what the OS is about. And you should pretty much find everything that you want from this one central repository. And this also gives a level of ease of use, or compatibility you might say, because any software in the FreeBSD 6 tree would work on any system with FreeBSD 6 installed. Now, that's not particularly the case with the Linux distros. Package Fedora RPM or Red Hat RPM package might not necessarily run on a Debian even if you have the RPM installed, and deb .deb might not necessarily run on a SUSE or a Mandriva or an Arch box. So there might be some incompatibility, but with FreeBSD it is tested that FreeBSD 6.3 would work, all the softwares would work with any machine running FreeBSD 6. So that's a good, that's a good way. Right, one difference, Linux kernel is maintained by Linus Torvalds. There's just one person, and I believe he trusts two or three people with the kernel changes, and only three or four is it people have the right privileges on the kernel. Now, as FreeBSD I'm sorry, as Linux expands into the server market, into the desktop market, and various portable devices, mobile devices, and all that, managing the kernel, patching it is going to be pretty difficult for one or maybe three persons. FreeBSD, on the other hand, the committers and the core team, they together decide what changes are to be made. They together, any one of them can make the changes. All of them together take the decision whether this change would be good or would be bad. And one committer or one person from the core team doesn't have all the rights. So no one person can come in walking and he can't say that I want these changes to be implemented right away. The team decides what is to be done and gets more knowledge transfer, gets more people thinking, more brain cells burning out. So it results in a better code, a stable code, and which is a good thing for FreeBSD. We're coming to the end of this part. The licenses: Linux is GPL, FreeBSD is the BSD style license. Now FreeBSD CD that you would download or you would get from the FreeBSD mall would have KDE, would have GNOME, would have a lot of other softwares. Now KDE or the Qt library or GTK, GNOME, GTK Plus. Now all these libraries and the desktop environments, any softwares installed with it, they might have different licenses. So GTK, the GNOME, is licensed under LGPL, which is a modified version of the GPL, and KDE would be a different license. So OpenOffice would have a different license. All the softwares might have different license, but the core OS, the FreeBSD, the core OS is the BSD style. Now what the BSD style license says is just take the code, do whatever you want with it. You don't need to keep the code open after you implement it. Just make sure that you give us credit for using that code. You don't need to pay any money for that, nothing. This is the FreeBSD BSD style license. Whereas Linux, as you might know, if you use the kernel for any particular use, you would need to, because of the GPL, you would need to make the source code of the derivative work as well open source. But with FreeBSD, that is not the case. The BSD style license says do whatever you want with it. Don't pay us any money. Don't keep the source code open. But just make sure that you give credit back to the developers of the code. And one more thing I would say is FreeBSD is not exactly very popular with the desktop market. But partly a reason behind that is Linux has many corporate or the companies backing it up, in the sense they are taking up the Linux source code, making distros out of it, community distros, commercial distros, Red Hat Enterprise Linux, Novell Linux Desktop, and these commercial distros. And when corporate world comes into picture, heavy advertisement goes on behind it, some channelized scheduling or deadlines, corporate tie-ups. So with Linux, you've got the distro which is Linspire, and it's got tie-ups with hardware manufacturers. So you would effectively go in and you could go out and buy HP laptop or a desktop machine with Linspire installed on it. And so when these companies come into picture, because of all these other things, you end up having more of market share in the desktop area as well as in the server area. But with FreeBSD, right now there's not much desktop acceptance or server acceptance, I would say. Of course, I believe that on the server side or on the desktop side, it's a far better OS than any other. But because of the lawsuits in the past and being not adopted by the corporate world as aggressively as Linux, FreeBSD's you might say, acceptance or FreeBSD's penetration on the desktop market is not as much as Linux. You'd say just about 10 or 20% max, but it's changing, and you've got derivatives of FreeBSD, the distros, if you want to call it them. You've got PCBSD, or you've got you've got PCBSD, you've got NanoBSD, PicoBSD, FreeSB, and all these distros are coming out, and they are really pushing forward the desktop acceptance of FreeBSD. So in the near future, you might see that FreeBSD would be accepted a lot more on the desktop and effectively on the server side. And there'd be a more, today, the ignorance or the myths surrounding the FreeBSD would be somewhat resolved. People would know about it. If they have any doubts, they would check out the websites, listen to my podcast, if possible, and maybe get to know more about FreeBSD. So that's happening. Today, I think we are in a stage where FreeBSD is undergoing a lot of changes on the public side, and this is a good thing. So, right, this was the last part about the changes between FreeBSD and Linux. Personally, I've used Fedora, and I have used FreeBSD, Fedora being a Linux distro, and I can say both of them stand just at par of each other on the desktop market, at least. So I don't know about the server market, not really tested it out, but I was using Fedora up to 3 and 4 for the past a year back or something, and I've been using FreeBSD for about 10 months or a year at least. So I can say that both of them are at par on the desktop. All right, got introduction about John Baldwin. Right, I've got some emails going back and forth between John and me, and we are trying to schedule an interview that we can publish on the podcast about John and how he got into the FreeBSD world, and what he's up to today, and what are his thoughts about the FreeBSD. So we are working on that schedule. He seems to be busy on some weekends. I don't get time on some weekends, and all those sorts of things. So pretty soon I should be able to get hold of John for an interview. All right. According to an interview with Drew Levine, the lady who has written a simply marvelous book on FreeBSD, Drew Levine, you should check her book out. An interview with John Baldwin with Drew Levine. John says he's currently working on the kernel, mostly with the SMP module. He started out with the documentation team. The motivation was, I quote, "It's just something that I love to do. I've always enjoyed engineering type things and the joy of building things, whether it was playing with Legos as a kid or framing houses." He plays guitar regularly for worship songs at the Sunday morning service at church. He's got a computer science math degree from Virginia Tech. Programming since 12 years old. Born in 1977, about 30 years of age. Stays in city Marietta, state Georgia. This was the introduction of John Baldwin. Hope I get hold of him pretty soon for an interview. Right, some links here. Scott Bauman, FreeBSD and Linux, freebsd.nfo.sk/0801.htm. FreeBSD, an open source operating system for your personal computer, by Annalise Anderson. This book is free for personal use. I'll put up the link, andrsn.stanford.edu/FreeBSD/intro book. A very cool feature about the Mac OS is the rotating cube, and lately you might have seen videos about the Nova Linux desktop showing off the rotating cube. I've got a link which points to a forum which gives the steps about the setting up XGL if you have a 3D accelerated card of NVIDIA, or it gives steps about setting up XGL and the rotating cube on FreeBSD. It's at www.bsdforums.org/forums/showthread.php (T=39615). Right, this was pretty much that I had for this podcast. As per the content listings that I had, the last part is a podcast announcement. I know that I have many listeners, regular listeners. I can see them on the reports. If you guys might have observed, I've not put up the podcast again for last week as promised. Seems like I'm not able to put aside time to put up this podcast, to do research, to find songs to put in, and to actually sit down and record and then edit it in Audacity and all those things. So I'm not getting the time to do this very frequently. An announcement by the for the podcast is, if anyone out there is interested in co-hosting this podcast or simply contributing to 1 week's podcast by an audio clip, some information you might want to get out there, some announcements, some links you might have found, any audio clips, or if you want to get down and schedule a regular co-host, co-hosting for the podcast, we might do it on Skype, or Skype and schedule it on weekends. We could record it using Audacity or any of the software and make a podcast out of it. Probably, if anyone out there wants to co-host or help me out with the podcast content here, please send an email to freebsdforall@gmail.com. This was the announcement by the podcast team, which is me and me. Alright, pretty much coming to the end of the show. So, I've got an interesting piece of music here by Jeremiah Fleming, Taking You There. I hope you like this. I liked it pretty much. It's from podsafeaudio.com. You should find all the information about the artist over there. Alright, enjoy the music. Enjoy Jeremiah Fleming, Taking You There. Bye-bye.